Okay. The Gospel according to John. I want to talk about what the Gospel according to John says about Christmas this morning. As was mentioned a moment ago, this is our Sunday prior to Christmas Day. We will be back Wednesday night on Christmas Eve for a time of fellowship and worship and communion together. Those of you who are planning to be here, be ready for that. Invite somebody to come with you. Be nice. But I want to talk about Jesus, if that's all right with you. We've been talking about the greatest thing going is the kingdom of God. We've been talking about Jesus' birth is the coming of the kingdom of God into this world for the purpose of taking over, for the purpose of reigning over all of creation, for the purpose of inviting us into his kingdom. What an invitation it is. What an amazing... I've been invited to a lot of things, and I've been not invited to a lot of things. Some I'm praising God I didn't get invited, and others I wish I was invited and never got the invite. And it's kind of hard to realize that you were not invited to something that you thought you might really want to go to. The reality is this is the greatest thing going, and the invitation is there for all who will believe. I don't know how many of y'all have ever been in real trouble in your life, in real danger, needing someone else to help you out of that danger or that trouble. In any way, bring into your minds. My time working with the fire department, I've witnessed a lot of situations where people really needed other people to come and help. Like, could not help themselves. Never one time did I myself or any of the other people who worked at our fire department stand at a distance and shout out what to do to help themselves. It never happened that way. Those people ran to the problem and figured out what they could do to help the problem for those that were in need. We have a lot of people in our world that we consider heroes for a lot of different reasons. The most obvious are our military personnel, our first responders, sometimes even our own family members. We consider heroes because they took action in our time of need. And they helped us when we needed it the most. My own dad, my own father, every single time I got myself in a jam to where I couldn't help myself anymore, I would turn around and he would be there. He may or may not have been able to solve issues, but he was always there. And this is before technology became is what it is today. This is before I could just send a text message. This is back when you had to put some change in a phone and dial a number and hope somebody's home to get help. He was always there. We have a creator, a God, who is just that and more. Christmas is not the story of a God shouting instructions from heaven on what to do to save yourself, on what to do to make it right with him. Christmas is not that story. It is actually the story of God stepping into the darkness with us so that we might be invited to come home. Isn't that great? I think it's great anyway. At Christmas, the eternal God did not remain distant from us. That's what it's all about. He took on flesh so that he could dwell with us and bring the kingdom near us so that we could be near him. You see, it's more than just a baby being born in a miraculous way, even though that's amazing in and of itself. It's God, the Creator, the one who created us, making a decision based on His love, grace, and mercy to come into our place of existence for the purpose of inviting us into His place. Isn't that great? John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says this right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. You guys have heard that before? You've quoted that before. Some of you got it memorized. And just as was said in our communion meditation, this is the truth, according to John and his gospel, about the baby that was born at Christmas. I mean, how long does a person stay a child? Teenagers will tell you 18 years exactly. Parents will say a little bit longer than that. The fact is, God's plan is that He would come in the flesh through this virgin woman and live in this world that He created with us in the same manner as we do. He comes into our place so that we can then be invited into His place. You know, John, it always strikes me that, you know, Matthew and Luke, at least, they start their gospel talking about the birth of Jesus. John doesn't do that. John starts talking about His ministry. John starts saying, look, in the beginning, which agrees with Genesis chapter 1, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about this baby. He's talking about Christmas. He's talking about the birth of Jesus, y'all. And we say the birth of Jesus as if that was the beginning of His life, and it wasn't. He has always existed. God has always existed, eternity past, eternity future. He's always lived. Which means he left His place of holiness and entered into our lowly place. The word means the word logos means the word. It means word. It means He's the divine reason, the authority. You see, the Word of God, not just any word, the Word, the authority of God, the truth of God. He was not created. That's the reason why it took an angel to come and say to Mary, here's what's about to happen. Make yourself ready. And praise the Lord, she looked at that angel confused and scared and said, whatever your will is, so be it. Hello? We just talked about obedience in our Bible study earlier this morning. You want to talk about some serious obedience right there? She had every reason in the world to not obey God right then. There's nothing more personal that God could ask of anybody. And she said, okay, whatever you say. God was not created. He's eternal. He is eternally and fully God. The baby in the manger is the eternal Creator who stepped into His own creation. You ever think about it that way? You ever think about on Christmas morning as you're sitting there in your PJs and your bedhead hair, sipping on your coffee, watching whoever's there open up gifts and share whatever we share on Christmas Day? Do we think about that this is the day that we celebrate our Creator coming into His own creation? Isn't that amazing? Jesus is not merely an example or some kind of teacher. He's the Lord and creator of all. The baby in the manger. He's our Lord. This is why people immediately came to worship him and offer gifts to him and couldn't stop talking about him and also immediately wanted to kill him. You see. Because if he is the creator in the flesh, which he is and was, then that means his authority is over all of our lives. And his authority is legitimate, y'all. Young people say legit, but it means legitimate. That's legit, man. That's what them cool young people, that's legit, man. I love it when they say that. That's legit. Every time I'm eating ribs, I'm like, yeah, that's some legit ribs right there. But also his authority his authority actually loves you. His authority actually loves you enough to come in, to leave his holiness and come into the darkness with us. With us, y'all. With us. That's what a hero does. That's what a savior does. Comes into the danger, comes into the problem with you to save you. So we worship him not only as savior, but also as king of our lives. He didn't have to inherit the kingdom. He didn't get voted in as the king. He didn't get assigned by God the Father as the king. He is the king. He has always been the king. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you pay attention to what was told to the church, the Colossian church in chapter 1, well, really the whole letter to the Colossians, but specifically chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he talks about by him all things were created. By him who? By the baby, Jesus, who grew to be the man, Jesus, who went on to the cross to be the Lamb of God. Isn't that amazing? Madeline's doing an amazing job back there because I didn't even push the button and she's already on top of it. I love it. John chapter 1 verses 9 to 13. Let me read that. Same chapter. He says, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own. And those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's a good opportunity for y'all to praise the Lord right there. That's John's way of saying the one who created you came into his creation so that you could see him. And if you would see him and receive him, then you could be with him and he would be with you. Merry Christmas. Right? I mean, really, that's where you say Merry Christmas. That's what Merry Christmas means. You're wishing this joy and this blessing into someone else's life. Because as was pointed out in our communion meditation, there's no other way to have joy, not real joy, except through Jesus, the light of Christ. The light reveals truth. How many of y'all love that? That's a love-hate relationship, isn't it? I love it when it blesses me, but I hate it when it convicts me. I don't hate Jesus. I just hate the darkness that I'm in right now. But praise God that he doesn't spare us. Because how else would we know him? How else would we know how badly we need him? He says the light comes into the world, but the world rejects that. The darkness rejects the light. The darkness does not want the light because they can't exist in the same place. The darkness never overcomes the light, just rejects the light. You've heard about trying to save a drowning person. And if that drowning person doesn't surrender or submit to you saving them, they could drown you. If they resist your help, they could harm you and pull you down too. But not with Jesus. When Jesus puts light on a subject, it's lit. Legit lit. I'm seeing if y'all are paying attention, y'all. Christmas is coming, y'all. Light reveals truth, praise the Lord. Exposes darkness, and it brings clarity. How many of y'all like clarity in your life? I love it. I want everything to be crystal clear. I hate being confused. And I hate lying to myself and being able to lie to myself. But Jesus doesn't allow that. He puts a light on the subject no matter what I think about it. Especially if I'm trying to lie to myself. Especially if I'm trying to hide in the dark over some reason. You see. He comes in there with that holy flash like, what's going on in here? And I'm like, wait a minute. But he does it because he loves. Realize this. It wasn't just that Jesus came into his creation and into his world. No, he came into the world that he created, that man contaminated, that man tried to destroy with sin, that man made ugly. If you've ever had teenagers and you want them to clean their room and they refuse to do it, and then you get so fed up that you think, I'm going to go in there and clean it for them, and you open the door and you're like, I don't want to go in there. You really want it clean, but you're not willing to go in there. Right? Especially if it's got some odors in there. Now, people say my son was like a lot like me, and I hope in this way he wasn't, but man, his room either smelled really bad of whatever cologne he thought was cool at the time. You couldn't go in there. You get a bloody nose or something because of the cologne. Or worse, some clothes he'd been leaving around somewhere that nobody knew about. It smelled like a locker room. I was like, I can't go in. Just shut the door. I can't go in there. But God didn't say that. God didn't see it that way. God is offended by our sin, but it doesn't repel him from our lives. You see, he came all up in our mess. That's what Christmas is. That's what Jesus in the manger. That's what the baby Jesus is. God coming into our mess, y'all. Not because he had to, because he wanted to. Because he loves us so much that he's not going to leave us in that mess. He's not going to leave us in that thing. He's not going to stand in his throne from heaven from a distance and say, hey, if you do this, you might be better off. You know, he don't do it that way. He came into our darkness to take us by the hand and lead us into his light. If that don't make you fall in love with Jesus, you ain't paying attention. If that don't make you have a Merry Christmas, you ain't paying attention. Because he stepped into our brokenness, knowing that he would be misunderstood and rejected. He knew that the people that were wallowing in their misery really loved to wallow in their misery because they didn't know anything else. They loved their darkness. We love our darkness. And it's not until Jesus brings his light into our world that we can even know anything different or better. And there's this little girl, Mary, on this journey to be counted because some king wants to know how many people are around. And in the middle of their journey, suddenly she realizes that she's getting ready to have this baby. Suddenly she realizes that they're not in the best place to have a baby. It's not like they're at home where they could handle this a little better, where there would be maybe some family around to help with this situation. There's just Joseph, and what does he know about having a baby? But she also knows what the angel told her. I can't even picture the emotion. I can't even start to grasp all the different emotions that must have been going through her heart when she was about to give birth to our Savior, to our God, our Creator, when God was entering into our darkness. This was not just her having a baby. This was not just a baby being born. This was the holiness and the light of God coming into this dark world. As part of God's master plan, y'all. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No darkness in your life is too deep for the light of Christ. I think many of us, many of the people that exist on the planet in today's world need to hear that. Depression and anxiety are taking over our lives. Even the people in the church are experiencing these things. Because we live in a world that's contaminated by sin and darkness, y'all. We live in a world that is in decay and will continue to be in decay because of that. But it's not without hope, because we have a light, the light of the kingdom of God that has come into our darkness for the purpose of lighting the way. For the purpose of bringing the light into our lives, saying that we don't have to live in the darkness. You're invited to come out of the darkness by faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we don't just celebrate a baby. It's not just about a baby. It's about the kingdom of God. I don't know, everybody's got something going on in their life, good and bad, everything in between, life. You know, Stan said, what happened to this year? Where'd it go? It went where the last year went. And a year before that, and a year before that. I'm the same way. I just told my wife just last night, we were watching one of the games, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm like, why am I so tired? Because I really hadn't done much throughout the day. And I'm like, why am I? And then about 30 minutes later, I look at her, and I said, I think I'm tired from 2025. That's what I think it is. And I'm serious about that. You know, sometimes you don't realize, you know, and I'm not any different than anybody else. We all lived the same amount of minutes, and we all had a life. We all had things going on, things to deal with, up and down and everywhere in between. But, you know, we have our Creator, our God, Jesus, who came into our darkness and to experience all of the things that we experience with us. That's what draws me near to my Savior, is because I know that because He came in the flesh and walked in this world, He understands everything I can feel and everything I can know. He knows what I've been through and it's not like He's never been there. He was tempted just the same as we were. He hurt for people just the same as I do and you do. He mourned for people, just the same as I do and you do. Somebody's going to say, well, surely he didn't feel guilt. He didn't sin. What do you think that cross was all about? Well, he didn't sin. But when he died on the cross, he took our guilt and our shame upon himself. You think he didn't feel that? You're misunderstanding the gospel, y'all. So even in our own conviction, when we sit back and say, man, I have sinned against God so bad, and we feel so terrible about that, and we think God would never understand how we feel, you're wrong. That's why He came here, to be with us and live with us and experience this humanity with us, so that He could be our Savior and He could be our Lord in a real way, with a real relationship. Not religion, y'all. Not religion, y'all. You understand? It's not religion. Religions are rituals and habits that help us pretend that we have a relationship with our Savior. A relationship is an interaction with the one who came here to die for us, the one who came here to be with us. the one who came here to invite us out of the darkness. When I was a child, we would watch the superheroes and all that kind of stuff, cartoons and even the TV shows. I always thought it was amazing, and I couldn't figure out how they did it until one day I grew up and kind of learned something. It happens every now and then, but it's like it was like Batman and Superman. Anytime somebody needed them, they had this big light come up in the sky and it'd be the bat signal. And I'm like, how is it? And then we would drive around town, and all of a sudden these lights, I'd be in the back of mom's car, and the lights would be going like this because they have some big fair or some event. Got these big gigantic lights, and they're just rolling around in the sky, and they're just doing this. And I'm like, what in the world? I was trying to figure out how that would happen. But they were intended to draw people to whatever the event was. The bat signal was to get Batman to come because they needed help. They need a hero. You ever notice how we're all drawn to lights all the time? Don't say you're not, because I know you are. You are, because every other human being is. We're naturally drawn to light. It's in us to be drawn to it. We're just comfortable with darkness. God doesn't want us to be comfortable in our darkness. He wants to be comfortable in His light. Jesus entered a world that rejected Him in a great way. Let me see what my last point is in verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in verse 14. The Word, God, the Word, Jesus, became flesh. He didn't come alive. He was already alive. He just became flesh, you see. One preacher once said that Jesus is the only man that will never die. Not Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus, the Word. Because He was never born. He's always existed, you see. But He came in the flesh, born in the flesh, transferred into the flesh so that He could die, because that's what it took to send the invitation. Dwelt literally means tabernacled. You heard that word before? I know you heard the word tabernacle, but tabernacled. God pitched His tent among people. Pitch your tent, that's because of where you're going to stay. Praise the Lord for that. God's presence moved from a building to a person. I think too many times we get in this, I don't know if it's intentional or subconscious or what it is, but we know God is real, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we say we're Christians, we believe the Bible, we believe the gospel, but somehow or another our minds are separating. We're saying, okay, God is here and I'm here. Even if you think He's right here next to you, or you're next to Him, whichever way you want to see it. But that's not the case. No, He's living in you if you're the believer. If you're saved. If you've accepted the invitation. If you said, yeah, I want Jesus. I want Jesus' sacrifice and His invitation. I want to be part of that. I want to surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. I want Him to be my King. And that's why we do, that's what baptism is, a picture of your sinful ways, your sinful self being buried, because that man or woman is dead. So we're going to bury that man or woman, the sinful person. And then coming out of the baptism, the water is an example of being born again in Christ, and now the Spirit of God lives in us. You see. He left the presence of holiness, came into our dark world, in the flesh, so that He could die for the flesh, so that He could live and we could live with Him. He came to us so that we could go with Him. Hello? It's the moment God moved from being near His people to being with His people. See, in the Old Testament, in the old ways, the law, the people could only be so close to God. Even when they were obeying the law, they could only get so close to Him, because we were in sin and He's holy. Oh, they were, Adam and Eve, they had it made, didn't they? You think they had it made? They were walking in the garden with God every day. Fellowship with God every day. It must have been amazing. But you know what they didn't know? You know what they had no way of knowing? They had no way of really understanding the fullness of God's love, because they had never been without it. They had never been separated from Him. Once they got separated from Him, then they suddenly realized the value of God's love and God's presence in their life. And all this time later, Jesus goes to the cross. He comes into this world as this little baby to go to the cross so that we could all experience what Adam and Eve had going on. Except we get to do it the reverse. When we meet Jesus and He shines that light in our life, we suddenly realize the value of the love of God. And we have a decision to make. All of this happens because God has a desire to have a relationship with you all, with me and everybody else. Because He dwells with us, we're never alone. I hope that sets you free sometime this week, because sometimes holidays can be a lonely time for some people. Sometimes people are so alone at Christmas time and Thanksgiving and even Easter or New Year's because everyone they've ever loved, either there's strife in the family or they're not around. Or some other reason. Maybe they have to be gone somewhere and they don't get to be around the ones that they love. Whatever the reason is, you're never, ever alone. And sometimes, if you know what I'm talking about, sometimes that's the one thing that gets you through a day or two. Until things change. Why is that? Because there's light. There's light that's living in us that will push away that darkness that comes upon you. That push away whatever the world wants you to believe is true about you or your life. But Christmas is about this baby that came to shed light on those things. To let you know that whatever goes on in this world, good or bad, is not the end result. It's not what it's about. What it's about is our Creator God, our King, our Lord, coming into our world to lead us into His world. Praise the Lord. His kingdom. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 is up there. It says, "They shall call His name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. It's all over the Scripture, y'all. It's all over His Word. It's prophesied. It's talked about. It's preached about. It's recorded. God wants to be with you. He wants you to be with Him. There ain't but one way to do that. That's surrender to His plan. Step into the light. I know it's bright. I know it's bright. There's nothing like it. So as we look at this, we have the eternal God who entered history. He entered His own story, His own novel, His own account, and He walks in there as the hero, because He is. He's a holy God who entered into our brokenness, our sinfulness. Even though He would be rejected, knowing that He would be rejected, knowing that the darkness would resist Him, He still came. He's a God, He's a Creator, He's a King, He's our Lord who desires to dwell with His people and for His people to dwell with Him. It's not some distant theology, it's not some fairy tale. Christmas is about the presence, the divine presence of our Lord. Isn't that great, y'all? If God was willing to step into our world, shouldn't we be willing to step into His kingdom? If God is willing to come into this crazy, dark, miserable place, shouldn't we be willing to step up and walk into His kingdom under His terms? Screaming and yelling, "Merry Christmas." People should be mad at you at Christmas time. Why? Because you keep talking about Jesus. That's all you want to do is talk about Jesus. How come you don't want to talk about gingerbread houses? How come you don't want to talk about other things? Christmas parties and movies and whatever. Because I want to talk about Jesus. That's why. I'm not saying you can't talk about those things, but I want to talk about Jesus. This Christmas, let's draw near to Christ and worship, true worship, that our King has come. Our King has come, y'all. Trusting that He understands all of our struggles, but continuing to carry His presence into our homes and the homes of others, into our community, so that the light can shine all around us. That's it, y'all. That's all it is. That really is all it is. It seems like I'm saying it like it's nothing, but it is. There's nothing more to it. The world will try to make you make it about everything else. You see. Years ago, I gave up on it because I'm not disciplined enough, but years ago, I decided I'm not going to buy Christmas gifts for people anymore. It's getting a little out of hand. I got like 7 brothers and sisters, y'all, and parents, and they got kids. I'm like, I got to get a third job here just for Christmas. I started, and plus, it wasn't because of the money. It was mostly because it was like, why am I buying stuff? Why am I spending all my money, and they're spending all their money and giving each other stuff? I decided I'm just going to start making stuff that they can't buy. I'm just going to create something that they can't buy anywhere. That was my plan. It was a good plan. It worked for a couple years. Because it made me feel like I was doing something for the people I care about that they can't buy somewhere, which made it special. But like I said, I'm not disciplined enough to start in enough time to get it all done. So that's point is the world wants us to rush around and spend our Christmas stressed out because we're trying to keep the traditions of the world, totally distracted from the celebration of our King who has come. He didn't just come, He came to be with us. Amen. I love you and the Lord loves you. We're going to be finished for today. We're going to come back on Christmas Eve and continue to celebrate all these things. We're going to sing a song together. If you're not saved, then I suggest you can seriously consider that. Give yourself the greatest Christmas gift you can give yourself, which you didn't really give. Accept the Lord and your Savior as your Lord and Savior. I've already described what that looks like. If you don't understand what that is, come and talk to me afterwards and we'll take care of it. Let's stand together and sing.